Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the December 13 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Our panelists today include Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions. He's out of Watseka, Illinois, along with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Kurt, I think I want to start with you. We are now about a week and a half away from the Trump-Xi meeting that took place in Buenos Aires. USDA has announced that there has been 1.13 million tons of soybeans sold. I think the total number is expected to be about 2 million tons. That's around 75 or 80 million bushels. The trade took this in stride but said, by the time we got to the numbers actually being released, hey, we built this in and the sales have already been made.
Well, it's kind of like the Jerry Lewis telethon. There's more to come, I guess. We'll see how that unfolds, but it kind of reminds me back when the Chinese bean-buying delegation came to town. Those numbers were 2 to 3 million metric tons, so for the market to be a little bit more excited, they bought the rumor and sold the fact, but to be more excited about it, they got to see some more sales take place, I believe. But this should not be anything new, because basically they need beans. And they need to hedge their bet, because if they do not buy any beans from the southern hemisphere, what could happen is we're seeing some trucking issues take place. There could be a dock strike. There could be harvest delays. There could be Asian rust come in. There's a whole bunch of things that come in that I think this is just a little token here as a hedge and not just an outright purchase. So we'll see what develops. What's probably more important if they come through and buy other products.
So at this point, do you see it as kind of a bridge loan to get to the Brazilian crop, or you think there's more left to go?
I think it's just a hedge, period. It is option origin. I feel they have to have a second outlook. They got to have a backup plan in case they can't get the beans out of the southern hemisphere in a timely fashion. We're only talking maybe best 180 million bushels if they really go for it. You take 950 million, subtract 200 million, would still have over 700 million bushel carryout.
On Thursday afternoon, Merrill Crowley, Sonny Perdue, Secretary of Agriculture, talking with some reporters, made a couple of statements. One, that they're working through some red tape as it relates to the second MFP payment, or the market facilitations payment. No word on what that payment will be or when it will come, but working with some red tape there. And also said that there was no other news on additional sales to China, other than the 2 million that's already been announced. What do we make of this?
Well, RGO is taking a look at that, and they're talking about a possible total of about 5 to 8 million metric ton. And I also noticed another company talking the same thing in general, is that you're going to see part now and part later. And the later may not be until fall of next year for us. So that's definitely a disappointment. If you have been listening to other places, there's one particular advisor that's talking about we need 11 million metric ton, according to his figures, just to get to the USDA's current soybean export projections. RGO is not sitting that highly on them. They're saying we need at least 8 million metric ton to get to that point. So they could see another 3 to 4 million right, and they're just not sure when. But they think they are going to see a total of 8. The thing is that going to be enough to really help us out in the long run with the current crop sizes? When I look at it, in my mind, I'm looking at the situation as they need a stopgap. I'm sure they're tight on beans. Right now, the hog herd is keeping their demand down. You take a look at a chart for their crush charts for beans, it's terrible. It's a sad looking chart. So they don't. I don't think they're going through the bean mills and the beans they used to go through. So I don't think they need as much now, but they'll definitely need some later. And why would you get in a hurry to buy beans now with such a big crop coming in on South America? True, just like Kurt said, there could be a lot of problems pop up. That's why I think they're trying to replenish their state supplies.
Yeah, so let me summarize some numbers, and then I'll come back to African swine fever with you and the crush margins there, because I want to explore that just a second more to make sure that I understand that correctly. So some of the numbers that we saw early on after the meeting in Buenos Aires suggested that there would be 5 to 8 million tons that were purchased by state-owned facilities in China, places like Kafka and Sinograin. Those were apparently part of them made, but only at the level of 2 million. And the second part of that was that, China, as the state, would allow the private industries to maybe import another 2 million tons, so you can get to 10. If you 8 plus 2 is 10. So that's one set of numbers. We're at 2 million. The Secretary of Agriculture says, I don't know if we're going to get any more at this point. And those were supposed to come, I think, in the first quarter of this year. So we'll see how that runs out. Now, back to the crush margins. What you're telling me, I think, is that African swine fever has had such an impact on the size of their hog herd that crush margins are gotten really bad because they just don't need to buy the bean meal at this point in time. Is that what you told me?
That's basically what they're showing us when you take a look at the dalian soybean markets and the crush that they're having.
So where do we sit then in terms of what producers should think about their old crop, and I guess we'll call this the old crop now, soybean sales, that which is in the bin, or at the elevator, Wayne Nelson?
Well, the first thing, and we're going to go back just one thing on the China deal again, very, very disappointed that they did not drop the tariffs so the local crushers over there could accumulate anything. All of this is going into the state-owned reserves, okay? If they, I don't know, if they pay the tariff and then turn around, well, the government is Sinograin. It's the government reserves, so they pay themselves. It's not there. We were wanting to see it go into the open market, into the actual crushers over there, and we could actually see the demand, and it wouldn't be quite the shell game that the government does play over there. And they do a great job of where's the pea and under which shell. And I think that's what they're trying to do to us here very much so. It makes them very much stronger on their bargaining power. And also, let's take a look at this. They come in, they bought, like they promised. We were never given a figure. We assumed a figure. We wanted to see a figure, but we didn't get a figure. And now we're all disappointed. And what happened on Thursday? The market went down. When I'm a buyer, do I want the market going up and me spiking it, or do I want to go down? I think they're playing a game with this. I think they'll be back for a little more. But for right now, it was a buy the rumor, sell the fact. And I think that pop that we saw on Wednesday, we were fortunate enough. We sold some 970 new crop beans. We moved another 10% of our cash beans at those levels. Now, a disappointing thing at Evansville at the river, even with when the board was up 9 cents, they dropped widened their basis another 8 cents. And actually, when it dropped a little bit more, their cash bid was 2 cents less than it was the day before. We've seen the Pacific Northwest. We have seen the Gulf pick up basis a little bit, but we have not seen just the river markets pick up. They had enough at both of those places or enough cheap basis going to the Pacific Northwest, of course, because those basis were already terrible, terrible, and more terrible. So, they are okay to do those. But I think we had to take advantage of a little bit of this now, and I think when we see the next round of buying by China, I'm going to probably be in the mood to sell a little more, protect it, or at least buy puts and sell a call above the market. So I think we've got to step into these when it looks like we can still be profitable, because if not, if China doesn't come back to us, if this blows up in our face, beans aren't going to be $9.70.
Yeah, essentially what you just told me was that China made a purchase and they made a purchase of really cheap beans at the state level because it was 25% below the world market price.
Yeah, very much so. They've done quite well. I mean, yeah, they talk about the tariff still being on it, but they're paying it to themselves. I mean, that's not a real big tariff when it just goes back from my right pocket to my left pocket.
Anything that producers should consider on new crop as it relates to soybeans?
Oh, like I said, we did sell about between 5 and 10% on Wednesday. So, and we're looking at that again. Our next sale, we're hoping to get to the 975.
How about for you? Where are you setting on sales, or at least what are you telling producers they should be doing at this point with soybeans?
Yeah, this is just fitting the timing. If you go back, we look for some type of fall low, a move up to mid to late December, and here we are. We had the fundamental news to help push the prices higher here. Now, as far as what to exactly do, depends in your area. There's some areas that still has some fairly wide basis, 55 under on new beans. It's kind of hard to sell that. We kind of recommend maybe consider a good old-fashioned hedge or sell some call options to kind of get your foot on the door. But I think you got to use a scale-up selling approach in through here. We like this kind of using this late December time window and, again, a late winter time window to get to kind of hedge up to where you want to be.
On beans, we're currently holding about 30% of our whole crop. Depending on where we get our next sale made and depending on whether or not we actually see the other 82 cents from the government, if we all of those come into play for us, we'll have an average bean price over $12. On a new crop, we made a little more aggressive sales around the 970 area.
Let's turn our attention to corn at this point. A lot of corn in the bin, and producers, I think, have been marketing their corn just as they normally would do in any given year at this point, and are maybe, like some of the trade, feeling that 1.7, 1.8 billion bushel carryout is just not that big, and there might be some potential for the marketplace to move higher.
Yeah, there's that optimism, but we are up against some time windows and some retracement levels to look at. This March corn up front here, this 86 area, that's a benchmark. Then, too, if you look at the charts, this 390 areas, there's some significant resistance there. If you look on some new crop corn, December, 405 is an area to watch. A lot of guys kind of like the scale-up selling approach, 405, 415, 425 sort of. Look for those levels to get something on the books. If we go ahead and have the acres in favorable weather, and if the Chinese news fades away, I think we're subject to some downside risk. Guys pushing the pencil are kind of happy with this 970 futures on the beans, and they're kind of happy with some $4-plus futures on the corn for new crop.
Are there any adages about the holiday season for the winter break, for Christmas, that we can look at? Sometimes these are places where we have a change of trend.
Yeah, basically, if you went down into Thanksgiving, you generally go up into Christmas. And I think that's what we've seen here. We did that this year. We're coming on up here. I think that, number one, if you did some of the later harvested corn when it was down and everything like that, there's a lot of dirt in some of this corn in there like that. Core your bins. Don't worry about what the price is now. Get a load or two out. It's a whole lot better than hot corn later. And we're seeing a lot of guys are finding they put some of their beans, especially in the down the south, they put some of these damaged beans in the bin, and they're coming out a lot more damaged because they didn't dry them and stop the mold from growing. So you need to be very careful in watching things here along the way. But I think all of the major grain companies are talking about try to scale up, sell into this, try to put some floors underneath, leave it open a little bit by selling a call on top of it if you do the put call thing. That's the easy, whatever, everybody can talk about that. But I think if you've got some corn, definitely have to sell enough to core your bins and keep selling a little bit for good cash flow purposes here too, because fertilizer's going to be higher this spring. Everything's going to be a little higher, and if you've got a good cash flow going, your banker's going to be a lot more cooperative when you go in.
Merrill, if you look at the corn market, what are the fundamentals or the technicals that you're watching most closely at this time?
Basically, 405 for March is a target right now. 380 is support in the March. Probably like to see Dease corn up around 415. It was interesting. I was talking to Ellen Dearden this morning, and she shared something with me I hadn't been watching. Currently, farmers have roughly 400 million bushels of corn under loan, which suggests that they could be deferring all their marketing to later in this year. And when you look at the way everything's setting up, we're not getting the export sales in corn we had hoped to. We are ahead, I think 16% ahead of last year right now, but I think farmers were and traders were looking for this corn market to be more solid than it has been here lately. So in any case, when you're looking at coming up on the planting acres that you may see with corn, especially if these bean prices go down from here, and you're going to need to be marketing early. And anybody that's holding crop off the market waiting for the latter part, because the nine-month loan comes, let's see, about 3 months before September, June, July, depending on when you put it under loan, you're going to be in a time of market that's not going to do you very much good to come out of a loan program or storage program in your bins. So we kind of think you need to concentrate on early marketing. The fundamentals seem to be pointing that way, and it's just true. We've gone from corn stocks of 2.293 in 2017 to 1.781 now, but the thing is we need to get those stocks down around 1.5, 1.6 to see a better price appreciation, and with the market looking ahead with more acres to be planted, I'm not sure we're going to see that.
So it's all about the timing of the sales at this point. I don't think you're all very far apart on what the marketing looks like. And June, July is usually a pretty tough time if we happen to have a pretty good-sized crop. But it's about when you time that new crop corn sale.
Well, it's like that country western song right now, sunrise, sunburn, sunset. There's a rhythm to it here, and that's kind of been the rhythm over the last couple of years. And timing's everything, of course. One particular strategy we like, and Wayne kind of hit on a little bit, is we like buying those December $4 corn puts, putting a price floor under you, sell on a 450 call to help finance it, then also maybe sell an out of the money put to also help finance that. Now, you got to manage this position. You're putting a $4 floor in, and you're kind of leaving your upside to 450, 460. So if the market goes higher, you can come out of this position, turn around, make a cash, sell at that level. So there's some creative strategies out there to kind of protect or hedge yourself and give you some flexibility until we get into the crop insurance area of February to see what those guarantees are going to be.
Wayne, USDA in January will release the final crop production numbers for the year. It's an opportunity for them to adjust both yield and acreage. Many producers believe that because the harvest has been so delayed, then there are still corn and soybeans coming out across a lot of the Corn Belt, and I think in almost all the states, that they believe there will be abandonment and an acreage adjustment. Is it more likely that will happen or that USDA will look at yield and drop it down?
I think it's going to be a combination of both, but I think we'll see more lowering because of abandonment. I talked to two customers today. They're still trying to combine beans, and it was just, they combined yesterday. They weren't able to combine on Thursday. I talked to two customers that finished up yesterday on corn. But all in all, not as bad here, but as you go south, the beans that are in the field have damage. They're worse. They're going to have lots of problems handling those, and there are going to be problems because of the damage that way. But we have a lot of grain still out there. It's not as much when you look at it. It seems like a lot of acres, but we could drop 3-4%.
It's interesting. Yeah, you know, and I think I would agree with Wayne. You could see 3-4, but even if you figure 20% drop, you're not talking that many bushels with the carryout we've got. It does make the corn market look a little more interesting than we're looking at right now, because you could be looking at something, 80 to 100 million bushels of loss. Well, now you're getting down to that 16 I just talked about that we'd like to see for some better prices. Now, as far as what we're going to see on the report, when the corn yields decline from October to November, 6 out of 8 times the yield decline again in the final report. So I think it's you at least have the odds behind you of the corn yields declining. And with the corn in the field, I think that would just help push yields a little bit lower.
Do you know what the numbers look like for soybean yields from one to the next two, from the December or November to the final in yields? Because those soybean yields have just been tremendous over time.
I do not have the figures on that. What I do show...
Oh, what do you want to... I'm just going to not ask you the question. That's
that, I was going to say, what I am showing is the farmer that I have that is combining beans and is finally and slowly but surely getting them out of the field. Even though he's having to go one direction, he's still talking to me about 70 bushel beans.
So, still good yields. Amazingly enough, not a lot of shatter, apparently.
Apparently not. The only thing he's really concerned about now is if they would freeze, because they are down, you're definitely going to freeze some to the ground that he can't pick up.
Although, I guess, depending on where he is, he could have had 80 or 82 bushel of beans and have shatter of 10 bushel in
exactly.
That. That's lots of things happening here in this marketplace, Kurt Kimmel. What's your best advice looking forward into the 2019 season for producers, old or new crop, how they should handle the politics, the policy, the acreage? It looks like a jumbled mess.
Yeah, and you just got to tune the noise out, because if you follow the tweets and you listen to the news, you're going to be bullish one day and bearish the next. I think you just got to go back to some good old-fashioned marketing. Know your cost of production, map out what you want, and above all, stay flexible, because your area might be a wide cash basis situation, but if you're mobile, you can be in a situation where you can take advantage of a better cash bid somewhere else. So there's some opportunity. You just got to be able to recognize it and be able to take advantage of it.
I'd like to come back, Wayne Nelson, to one other thing on the soybean market. Of course, we've had some exports now announced to China. They should be going at some point in this first quarter of the year, I would think, sometime probably in January. However, export inspections, in order to catch up to what USDA says will be exported by the end of this marketing year or by the time we get to the fall, would have to be, I think, over 100,000 a week or something like that. It's just a tremendous number of beans that need to go out of the ports.
You know, we're not going to get enough to get to where they're at unless China really comes back to us and we'd get a really sweet deal. The fact of the matter is, what we have to do is get something that can chop down that 950 carry out, get it back down to maybe the 600, 550 range or something like that. They can get it so it can be somewhat manageable if we'd cut our acres and do something or else get some business back. But in all honesty, Todd, we've got a mountain of beans here in the U.S., and they aren't seeming, nobody's coming to want to haul them away. So, you know, we've got a problem right now. We are going to see a little bit of advantage here now. They say that as the ethanol plants are shrinking back, which is hurting the corn price, that there's less DDGs available, and DDGs are getting above what bean meal costs now for some of the feeders that were using the DDGs. So we are pushing back to maybe using a little more of the meal here, but then again, that hurts our corn price. So win one, lose one.
So we come back at that point to the price of crude oil, and it looks like OPEC's going to tighten that up by, what, 1.2 billion barrels a day, and that should maybe allow ethanol to be a little better. That would increase the margins and potentially the export of ethanol on the global marketplace, because it competes with gasoline in the world market. That seems like it might be a possibility for some bright spot.
Yeah, that, and hopefully the thought that China either wants to maybe possibly buy some corn to start producing their own ethanol or shipping in some of ours if it's cheaper in the meantime like that. We hope that that is part of this deal that we're going to be talking about here along the way, because we still need strong ethanol usage. You know, we looked at that last report. What was the one adjustment we made? We cut 50 million bushel off the ethanol. What they were used for ethanol. So that's where we saw the cut. That's where the only negative thing we really saw in this report this time.
On the diversification, what other products do you think China might be in the marketplace for? Are they looking for sorghum? Are they looking for ethanol? Are they looking for pork?
You hit a few of those. Yes, it's a package deal, and we need to see that happen. But Wayne was dead on. That ethanol number should not go down because they're going to need ethanol. Ethanol is still a strong export market. But crude oil and liquid natural gas. I don't know if you guys watched the price charts on Thursday's action, but that energy market was lower. When I left off, that energy market was zooming up. We had an outside hook reversal up. So I don't know if there's some business taking place or else they're biting on some of this OPEC news and so forth. But it's a variety of products. In order to move forward in here, we have to see some of these other products come up in the list, just not beans.
So energies were on that list coming out of the Trump-Xi meeting, and LNG or liquefied natural gas, I think, was on that list as the top one that might be exported to China. Anything else on ethanol?
Actually, ethanol exports are up 19%, and that's equal to about 547 million bushels of corn.
Let's get a final word now from each of you. I think Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. We'll start with you.
I think we're going to get one more shot of one more set of purchases from China here before Christmas. I think we want to be very ready to pull the trigger, either make cash sales or some future sales. And whether you do it with options, futures, or cash, just be ready to do something.
Merrill Crowley from Midwest Market Solutions.
I have to second that. You've got to have your marketing plan ready. We've seen two times now where the market has jumped, hit our price target, and backed off. If you don't have that marketing plan and the idea of where you're going to sell and those offers into the elevator, it's going to be tough to get what you want out of the market. And the other thing is it will help you be able to focus more on other things. I had an old trader tell me that when December 1st rolled around, the best thing you could do was close your office, take off all the trades you had and go flat and take a vacation for the whole month of December because the markets would drive you nuts otherwise. So try to be patient through this time period and get your offers in.
And finally, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
I believe Merrill's going to get a lot of phone calls from bean seed salesmen to find out that's his number out in the field there that takes the snow, the ice, and the wind and still makes 70 bushel beans. That's phenomenal. 2018's been a dynamic, interesting year. Look forward to 2019 and wish everybody a safe and enjoyable holiday season.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can listen to the whole of our program online anytime you'd like on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org. And do visit one other website for me, please. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. All next week, I'll be making a run across the state of Illinois with the agricultural economist for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We still have space open. You can walk into any of those. We'll be in Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and right here in Champaign County at the iHotel. And that'll happen Monday, the 17th through the 21st. Our thanks go to our panelists, including Kurt Kimmel out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, from Midwest Market Solutions in Watseka, Illinois, Merrill Crowley, and, of course, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.